Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, JetBlue is thinking of turning an iconic airport landmark into a cool hotel. And a report says tourism in San Francisco is literally busting at the seams.
And starting at 3:20, we're going to introduce you to two new ways to fly in and out of Sacramento. Meet Seaport Airlines and Surf Air and learn how they can make your travels easier.
We have all kinds of tips to make you a smarter traveler, including tips on avoiding jet lag. And in our Save the Best for Last segment at 3:50, we even offer packing tips for men.
Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, and we're here to make you a smarter traveler and teach Tom how to pack. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city.
With the show.
Well, it's another fabulous Sunday afternoon, and that's because Mark and Tom are together with you, our listeners. It's another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK.
Oh, how sentimental you are on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, thank you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Just feeling good. It's a nice day. We had some fabulous weather. Oh, if we could just figure out how to squeeze a little more rain out of the sky sometime before the end of May. I don't know. I guess it probably won't happen.
Well, if you haven't listened to the Travel Guys before, I'm Mark Hoffman. To my right is Tom Romano. To my left is a wall. No, actually, to my left is a magical room where Luis sits and spins all the dials and makes sure that you can hear us for the next hour between now and 4 o'clock as we make you a smarter traveler right here on this very radio program.
And boy, I'll tell you, if you thought that the only way to get out of Sacramento was to go down to the airport and get on Southwest or one of the big planes, we've got a couple of interviews within the hour that are going to kind of open your eyes to other ways to fly around California.
And there are more ways to get out of Dodge than you thought.
Mark, speaking of getting out of Dodge, you just got back from Atlanta not too long ago. You were at the Freddie Awards. We did this last year. In fact,
yes.
For those that may have had a chance to hear, Mark was on with Kitty O'Neill on Thursday on the air talking about the results of the Freddie Awards and the latest news on frequent flyers. And a little bit later on in the program, in fact, after we do the news here on the radio, we'll talk more about the Freddie Awards and what went on there, okay?
Absolutely. And it just, you know, a man could do worse than to spend part of his afternoon with Kitty O'Neill. I'll just let me go on the record of saying that.
All right. Okay, you got some news for us?
I do.
All right, then let's bring on the band and let's bring on Mark Hoffman, as we always do at the top of each Travel Guys radio show, and bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark?
Oh, Thomas, it seems like every week we've got one of these new sharing economy folks in the news, Uber or Airbnb. This week it's the house sharing people, Airbnb. This is kind of interesting, I think, because people who are skeptical about this whole sharing economy thing and who are more old school. It's like you would let someone into your house and give them a key to your home and let them look through all of your stuff,
mm-hmm.
and all of those things. And what's to say that they wouldn't ransack your home? And if they did, what would happen? Well, we now have the answers to those questions.
No, not one of those.
Well, some folks in Calgary rented their home to some folks on Airbnb, and they actually were not going to be out of town. They just went across town and stashed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They started getting, shortly after they left and went to stay with their in-laws in another part of Calgary, they started getting texts from their neighbors telling them that police had arrived.
Oh, boy.
And they were told that a large luxury party bus had pulled up and 100 people. Now, I have to kind of contest this a little bit because as a guy who works on buses, we call them motor coaches, most of the time, 100 people couldn't have fit
yeah,
on
no.
on one of those, but 60 could have.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the family quickly got back across town, had to plead with the renters to pack up and leave. And the family said that the renters at that point were just totally wasted. They threw paint and stuff all over the house. The owner of the house said, "We came home and wished the home had our home had been burnt down to the ashes. It would have felt way better."
Oh my gosh.
The Calgary police at the scene described the situation as a drug-induced orgy. Airbnb spokesman Jacob Kerr said the company has banned this guest from renting again through the website. You think?
Boy, all I can tell you is that there needs to be perhaps a little more stringent or some sort of screening of guests.
Well, Airbnb says they have zero tolerance for this kind of behavior,
well,
and
sure.
Their team is working quickly to make it right. 35 million guests have stayed on Airbnb, and property damage is extremely rare. So the King family, this is the family that rented the home, so they had no issues when they rented their house out previously, and they have used Airbnb many times themselves. But here is the most important part, Tom, because I think this is what folks who are a little skeptical about this whole thing would say, all right, well, these people's houses has been trashed. Now what happens? Airbnb has told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC News, that the family will be reimbursed through its host guarantee insurance, which provides up to $1 million to eligible properties in the rare event of guest damages, which are not resolved directly with the guests. The company also says it's offering full assistance to law enforcement in the investigation of the incident. Calgary police estimate the damage is more than $50,000. A staff sergeant says, "I've never seen a home so damaged from a weekend party in 27 years of policing." But police are trying to locate the man who originally rented the property and intend to charge him with mischief for causing over $5,000 worth of damage to someone else's property. So I guess it's good to know that when something horrible did happen, that the Airbnb people were right there, that they have a plan B. They have a way to reimburse mm-hmm. you. It's never a good thing when something like that happens. But for those of you who are wondering what happens if they trash your house, that's what happens.
Well,
Airbnb's got your back.
They're smart. They put together an insurance policy, and I think a smart business plan would include that. So that's good
and
news.
We're here to give you both sides of the news. So we want to make sure that folks heard that. Speaking of things that blew up, Kilauea over on Hawaii is erupting again. Yeah, lava flows are at their highest in 7 years. There is a lava lake over there. People who have not been to Hawaii, let me just give you a real quick geography lesson here. On the Big Island, there are three volcanoes. Two of them are the dome types, Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa, that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
They are not currently erupting. Kilauea is a plateau volcano. Think Yellowstone National Park. Where the ground just basically erupts. And that's what Kilauea has been doing on one part of the Big Island of Hawaii and actually pouring into the sea on a regular basis for the last 20 years or so. They've added, I think, something like 400 acres of land to
the island that just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's called the Big Island for a reason.
Yep.
This would also be an opportunity to put in a cheap plug for a brand new tour that Sports Leisure Vacations is offering in November that includes Kauai and the Big Island, includes a flyover helicopter tour an expert pilot.
I hope.
good point. But anyway, Kilauea is, or Kilauea, if you prefer, is erupting in the islands again. And so if you go over there, you can get up close. You can see some of the eruption and stuff like that. But just make sure you've got a flexible schedule because the volcano doesn't really have a time schedule and tends to do different and weird things and sometimes is a little bit unpredictable. So
yes.
Make sure that you allow yourself plenty of time.
I mentioned
in the headline. Yes.
Just quickly, have you taken an auto ride over to that part of the island, Hilo side, and driven on any of those, so-called unblessed roads?
Oh, absolutely. Through the Thurston, we've walked through the Thurston lava tube, and you go to the visitor center there, Volcano National Park, and you see all the stories, the letters sent to people who have sent back the rocks and stuff they took home. And,
Yeah. You
know, for those who don't know, you're not supposed to remove anything from national parks. There's a fire goddess in Hawaii, Madame Pele, who really frowns on you removing any of her volcano.
Yes.
And taking it home with you, and has a tendency, the visitor center there is full of stories, letters written from people who took rocks home and had really unfortunate things happen to them and very quickly sent the rocks back.
There you go.
So, yeah, there is something to that. All right. Speaking of old rocks, there is an old terminal at JFK Airport in New York, Tom, the old TWA terminal. There was built back in the 1960s and is considered to be an architectural landmark. JetBlue is talking about turning it into a hotel. And I think this is all pretty exciting. It opened in 1962 at JFK Airport, and it has these swooping aerodynamic design lines to it that are really quite unique. It's really very space age and very, very Jetson-like for people in the 60s. This is what they thought that things were going to look at like 50 years from now. And the Wall Street Journal was reporting that the airline, which owns the terminal and the adjoining terminal where they fly out of now, they don't fly out of the old terminal, but that what was a rumor is indeed at least being talked about. It's not necessarily on the drawing board yet, but JetBlue is talking about turning that old terminal into a hotel. And if they do, I want to be one of the first people to stay there. That is just so cool.
Awesome.
So cool. All right. Speaking of airlines, Delta versus Alaska, which one will win the battle for Seattle? Delta Airlines has had a little spat with Alaska and has started their own service to Seattle, mostly to feed their many international departures from there. They have service from Sacramento starting here in just a matter of weeks. But Alaska Airlines, not to be taken back by their new competition, they are expanding too out of Seattle. They are starting service this fall to Nashville, Raleigh, Durham, and Charleston from Seattle, which is really making them pretty much a national airline. Now, a lot of these eastern destinations are only served once a day or twice a day, but and I'm not suggesting that people from Sacramento are necessarily going to fly an hour and a half north in order to fly east, but a lot of us are routing our flights through Houston and Dallas to go to the Northeast, so there's not a whole lot difference there. So you might want to just consider the possibility that there may be some decent airfares with Alaska and Delta going up and connecting through Seattle next time that you're looking for some airline tickets. And finally, a report tells us that travel, tourism in particular, in the San Francisco Bay Area is absolutely booming. The city's tourism numbers for 2014 were at historic levels. San Francisco brought in a record 18 million visitors last year. That's an increase of almost 7%. Those visitors spent over, and I know some of them are listening to us on the radio, $10 billion in the city by the bay. That's an over 13% jump in only 1 year, which is just absolutely unprecedented. Much of this, they attest to the fact that the Chinese travelers are finding San Francisco and showing up in great number, but also that San Francisco is just the destination right now, not only in the United States, but also for international travelers coming from abroad. So congratulations. And if you wondered why the traffic was so heavy and why it was so hard to get a restaurant reservation in San Francisco on a weekend, now you know why. It's because the whole rest of the world is there, and that is your travel news for today.
Wow, there you go. And you know, I was immediately thinking it's just all because of the San Francisco Giants' great three World Series in 5 years.
If you dig down into this article, indeed, yeah. The next thing that they talk about is the fact that the city has had this incredible, you know, there used to be a whole part of the city that people didn't go to. And that's that area down there south of Mission where the ballpark is.
Wow.
And now that's a vibrant part of the city that and they absolutely attribute the fact that the Giants have won three World Series has given the city incredible exposure, and that ballpark has gotten, of course, a lot of kudos from sports enthusiasts all over the planet, literally. So it has made the ballpark has become a destination, and indeed they attribute part of that upsurge in tourism to the baseball team and the ballpark itself. And I will tell you that any time the Giants are playing a day game down there, it's almost impossible to get a ticket to a day game because people play hooky and they just go to the ballpark.
There you go. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark, we got about 2 minutes to talk about Atlanta and the Freddies before we take our break and then head on over to our Seaport interview. So what do you got for us?
Tom, the Freddie Awards are really, they're kind of the People's Choice Awards. You know, it's over 10 million ballots were cast this year, which is, I think, is a pretty impressive number. And they're cast all over the planet. There are six award categories plus an up-and-coming program award. And so, and in each category, there's an award for Oceania and the Far East. There's an award for Africa and Europe, and there's an award for the Americas. So there are three categories. And so it's entirely possible for a hotel like a Starwood or a Marriott mm-hmm. or a Hyatt, people who are all over the planet, indeed, a Lacour hotels from Europe won the most Freddy's. They won 5. American Airlines won 4. I think probably the most interesting thing this year is the same thing that was interesting to me last year. We were in a Delta Airlines facility. Delta was only a finalist in one category one time.
My.
They were only in the top 4 once. United Airlines' name was never mentioned the entire evening. U.S. Airways, which is merging with American, which is kind of interesting because American took home some good honors. U.S. Airways never came up. JetBlue was mentioned quite often. Southwest and American dominated the domestic awards for U.S. carriers. Some of this is getting people to vote for you, you know, letting your frequent travelers and flyers know that you would like for them to vote for you, and perhaps some of the carriers don't, and some of the hotel chains don't make as big of a deal of that, so they don't do as well. But to me, it really is a reflection of, listen, if the professional travelers are traveling with JetBlue and American and Southwest, then maybe that's where the leisure travelers should be looking for to also. And Southwest did very well, as they always do in these types of competitions.
Well, very good. Thanks for bringing us up to date on the Freddy's. By the way, if you want to follow along with all the stuff that goes on the Travel Guys Radio Show, go to travelguysradio.com, and you'll find links to our interviews and a lot more right there on our website, travelguysradio.com. Mark, what's
and
next?
Tom, let me also mention that we have a list of all of the winners of all the Freddy Awards. You can get a link right there at travelguysradio.com if you're curious of who the winners were in Atlanta. Coming up next, we are going to tell you about the first of two new ways to get in and out of Sacramento. We're going to introduce you to Seaport Airlines, coming up right after the break on the Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone. We're the Travel Guys on KFVK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. There's Mark Kaufman over there. And a special guest on the line today we've been telling you about that's bringing something new to Sacramento. Mark?
Well, yeah, we're talking today, Thomas, about different ways, new ways to get around the state of California and perhaps outside of it. Jeff Dale is joining us. He's the Community Affairs Manager for Seaport Airlines. Now, you're thinking to yourself, Seaport Airlines, God, California isn't anywhere near a sea. So how would that play in? Well, Seaport Airlines has landed in Sacramento lately with twice-a-day service to Visalia. They are in other places around the country. And so we're here to find out what the Visalia service is all about and what else might be on the drawing board. Jeff, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Good morning, and thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Not a problem. Jeff, Seaport Airlines landed in Sacramento here just recently. Tell us, with a name like Seaport, where did the airline start? How did it get its name? Tell us a little bit about Seaport Airlines.
Okay, well, Seaport Airlines was actually the original airline was Wings of Alaska. And it's been around for about 30 years in Alaska. And in 2008, Seaport Airlines started doing business at Seaport Airlines, Wings of Alaska, in 2008. And the name, if you will, the Seaport name comes from Seattle, Portland. And that used to be the original route when we first started, and it was more geared to business travel at that time.
Ah, okay. All right. So Seaport, that makes perfect sense. What brings you to Sacramento?
Well, actually, the Visalia route came open on the Essential Air Service. We bid it on it and got the contract. We do 2 rounds to Sacramento daily, as well as 2 rounds to Burbank out of Visalia. And the Sacramento route is just a slam dunk. It's a good route for travelers out of the Visalia area doing business in Sacramento.
Well, and of course, if you were going really anywhere in the Fresno area, this would be something that you might tap into. Jeff, we really haven't had much in the way of regional air service here for quite some time in Sacramento. We used to have service to San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara and Fresno and Bakersfield, but probably not too profitable. United got out of that business, and so now it's kind of like take a puddle jumper to San Francisco, pray that you can get two puddle jumpers in a row to work out of San, in and out of San Francisco, and then maybe you're at your destination. So you mentioned Visalia as an essential air service. Maybe explain to our listeners what that means.
Well, the essential air service was started during the deregulation of 1978, and there is rural areas throughout the country that get a partial subsidy for small carriers like ourselves to come in to get people from rural areas to a larger hub.
Jeff, I wanted to let people know that they can get to your website by going to travelguysradio.com. We got a link there. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the kind of folks that are using your services and what kind of fees are associated with it.
A lot of business travel. We have anybody from a farmer clear up to a lawyer that flies on our airline. We're noticing even people coming from the Imperial Valley, which is right on the southern part of California, they're flying all the way to Sacramento to do business. And a lot of governmental, in my case, I'm in government too as well. I sit on a city council in my community. We have people go from our area all the way to Sacramento to do business. So it's across the board of the people that travel.
And what are the fares like, Jeff? I've looked online here and I see fares as low as $39, which seems like pocket change almost. Even the highest fare is pretty reasonable.
Absolutely. It runs from $39. In fact, I have a breakdown here. It's $39, $62, $82, and $99, depending on when you call. And you just call or look on our website at c4airlines.com, and you can
now there are price. Now these are smaller aircraft. Tell the folks a little bit about the planes that you're using.
Okay, they're a Cessna 208 Caravan. They're a beautiful aircraft, and I promise you an e-ticket ride. The windows in these aircraft are large. We fly at an altitude that it's beautiful to see the scenery, and you just can't get a better flight in a small commuter aircraft.
I see
now,
you.
Tom.
Yeah, go
ahead. Tom, these are the same planes that we use, these caravans in Hawaii, uh-huh, for our private plane flights with the carrier over there. So these are, when Jeff says these are really comfortable planes, they really truly are. Unless you were flying in and out of horrible bad weather all the time, then small planes would be a little rougher. But of course, the weather up and down the Sacramento Valley is pretty good most of the time, so that's not really an issue. And indeed, every seat is a window seat.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I like to mention is when you fly in a CRJ jet, you tend to be a little more cramped. And these planes have beautiful leather seats that are comfortable. You sit down, you have plenty of elbow and leg room. I'm a 6'4" gentleman, and I sit in those comfortably.
Jeff, explain to us, in Sacramento, you are in Terminal B. Is that correct?
I believe it is B. Yes.
Yeah, the newer terminal. Is there anything different about folks checking in with your airline that our listeners should know about? Any kind of different procedures? You folks don't charge for baggage, do you?
Anything under 50 pounds is free.
Holy cow.
Keep that in mind, and also keep it in mind that this is just like any other airline. You need to be there, you know, in plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that way you can get through the TSA and everything else. So just make sure you keep that in mind, too.
All right, Jeff, thank you a whole lot for a few minutes of your time today. Seaport Airlines is the name of the new carrier in Sacramento. They fly twice a day to Visalia. There's a late morning departure and an early evening departure. You can connect there on to Burbank and some other places in their route system. So thank you very much. Best of luck to Seaport Airlines. Thanks for taking a couple minutes. And if you have any new service or anything to report, why, keep us in mind.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. All righty, coming up after the break, we're going to introduce you to even another way to take to the air out of Sacramento, right here on the Travel Guys. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, this is the radio show that just sort of chock full of unique ways of getting about in the air, don't you think?
Yeah, we got some new options in Sacramento. We've told you now about one, about Seaport Airlines, that could take you down to Visalia and a few points beyond, and who knows what might develop there. That's a airline where you go online, you buy a ticket, you go to the airport, you get on the plane, pretty standard operating procedure. The one we're about to tell you about now is a little bit different. This one's called Surf Air. Our guest is Jeff Potter. He is the president and CEO of California's membership airline. Jeff, we've had a couple of news items on our show about your airline, but tell us a little bit about what a membership airline is.
Well, sure. Well, first, both of you, thanks for having me on, and hopefully when we finish the segment, we'll have time to talk about how I can become a travel guy. Anyways, Surf Air is really probably one of the very, very first true innovations that's happened in the airline space. It's a membership membership club that happens to fly airplanes. And so what you simply do is you pay a monthly fee and you fly as much as you want. It's an important distinction. We have a scheduled service. So we combine the benefits of affordability from commercial aviation with the experience of private aviation, meaning we fly into private terminals. Security and safety is first and foremost in our minds, so we do a background check on all our members and run it against the no-fly list every week. And the great thing is, instead of having to show up at an airport an hour and a half, 2 hours early, you show up 15 minutes prior, you're met by a private concierge, and off you go. And the great thing about it, again, go ahead.
Service in Sacramento has just started fairly recently. What cities are you serving from Sacramento?
Well, actually, what we just recently announced that we're going to start serving, we wanted to give everybody advance notice because it was top on our list. We actually start August 24th.
Okay.
And so people will be able to see the plane sometime this month. We're going to do a tour with the aircraft, but we will fly two times daily to Hawthorne. And again, it's a private airport just right next to LAX. Two times a day to San Carlos, which is a private airport just to the south of San Francisco, SFO, and then one time daily to Santa Barbara. So you have a great opportunity living in Sacramento to go hopefully meet the travel needs of at least the prospective members we've been talking with.
And Jeff, you have you're starting service to Truckee and to Oakland this summer. So this is all a within California operation, correct?
Currently, it is. That is correct. Currently, we actually do serve Truckee, San Carlos, Santa Barbara, Oakland, Hawthorne, Burbank, and Carlsbad, which is north San Diego. And what we announced just a couple weeks ago was that we were beginning service to Santa Rosa, serving Sonoma and Napa, Monterey, Sacramento, and then Palm Springs towards the end of the year.
Listening to the travel guys, we're talking about Surf Air. Jeff, tell me a couple of things. Tell us a little bit about the type of plane that folks will be riding on and a little bit about your pricing structure, if you would.
Sure. First of all, the aircraft is called a Pilatus PC-12, and it is a Swiss-made turboprop. It is fast, it's pressurized, meaning unlike many turboprops out there, it can climb up to 30,000 feet if need be. It's got an executive interior of 8 seats. And the way the membership model, the pricing model works, again, is if you pay an initiation fee of $1,000 and you pay $1,750 per month. And again, you get to fly to Hawthorne as much as you want. You get to fly to San Carlos or Santa Barbara as much as you want during that respective month.
Wow, it sounds like that for folks who did a lot of commuting north and south, not only could be economical if you flew enough, but it also could be economical. In these days, Tom, people's time is so valuable. And we had that deal with Ed Perkins a couple weeks ago when he was talking about what your time is worth when you're on vacation. And so what your time is worth when you're working during the day, being able to go to the airport and not have to jump through all those hoops could save you an hour every time you flew. I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous time savings, which translates to a lot of dollars to a lot of business people.
Absolutely. Jeff, where did you get the model, business model for this program?
This actually is the first of its kind. So when you look at, say a NetJets or private charter, that type of thing, they're ad hoc or on demand. So you call ahead and you take your flight. What we've done is we've combined a membership with a scheduled service. So our members want to know when they're going from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. They want to know the time so they can schedule their, you know, your meetings, that type of thing. And so, but it's truly an innovative and creative approach to, again, and I think Mark said it very, very well, and we do. We're trying to save you time. We all value our time in a different way, but it's all valuable, and we give you back that time.
Very nice website, Jeff, and we are putting a link to it on travelguysradio.com. So if you'd like to get some more information about Surf Air, where they fly, what they're all about, it is a very unique, as Jeff has described here, a membership airline where you pay an initiation and a monthly fee, and you fly anywhere you want. Jeff, I'd love to have you come back on the program in a few months, and as your Northern California service arm expands, and tell us how things are going. Talk to us about this. I think it's a fascinating idea, and I think it's something that that certainly bears watching as we go down the road.
Well, I'd love to, and I really appreciate you both having me on today.
Oh, and just consider yourself now an official travel guy, okay? That's how tough it is to become a travel guy.
Well, I'm gonna lie and say it's a lot tougher than that, but I'm proud to be a member of this esteemed group.
Oh, awesome, awesome. All righty, we are the Travel Guys, along with Jeff, the new travel guy with Surf Air. Jeff, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure. Have a great day, guys. Look forward to being there in August.
Awesome, us as well. We are the Travel Guys in the air, on the air, on News Radio KFBK.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, into our final segment. And as Mark always says, we will have something in this particular segment we call Saving for the Best for Last. But let's we've been talking about flying on small aircraft here, a new way to get around California. But, yep. Mark, you got something about jet lag you want to share with our audience
today.
Well,
I do. Every once in a while, you know, you come across something, and we're always talking about how we're trying to make folks a smarter traveler. And jet lag is something I kind of experienced this week, because when I fly east, I really struggle because, like, I took a red-eye east and slept a little bit on the plane, and 2 days later I was still messed up because my body clock got all messed up. And even when I fly east on regular time, it's hard for me to go to sleep until 2 o'clock in the morning when I get to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And when I come back home, I don't have much issue. Most people have it the reverse direction. Flying west is what gets them as opposed to flying east. But most people have some effects of jet lag. And so there are lots and lots of lists, and heck, books have been written about this subject, but I saw this little list. It's only got 3 items on it, and I think they are really important. So here they are. Get active. Make sure that you move while you're in flight. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stand up and move around the airplane, because that might scare the hell out of some of the people that you're traveling with. But you can lift your knees. You can circle your feet at your seat. You can flex your ankles. You can do all kinds of things that will help circulation in, uh-huh, in your legs. And another thing that you can do is, before you get on the plane, instead of sitting at the gate for an hour, and I see some of my travelers do this on a pretty regular basis, is just get up and take a walk around the airport.
Yeah.
You know, 10 or 15 or 20 minutes walking around the airport during a layover before you take off will do amazing things to improve your circulation and ease jet lag. Avoid eating a heavy meal. Eating right is important. So get active, eat right. Avoid eating a heavy meal before you get on the plane. Wear comfortable, breathable clothes. Avoid caffeine and alcohol in large quantities, because that will make you dehydrated. So if you're going to have a cup of coffee, make sure you have it when you get up in the morning. Don't have another cup at the airport before you get on the plane. The other thing is that make sure that if you're going to drink alcohol, you know, some people are like, well, I'm going to have a couple drinks and sack out. Well, then that's fine. But if you're on a 7 or 8 hour flight, a couple drinks in the beginning is not going to make jet lag a whole lot worse for you. But if you have a couple drinks in the beginning and a couple drinks in the middle and a couple drinks towards the end, then you're going to find yourself very dehydrated and probably have a way worse hangover than you would have had otherwise.
Well, add a little water to it. add some, you know, whenever you drink, whether you're drinking wine.
Expert tips.
You should always be taking some water in at the same time.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I laugh, but that actually is true. I mean, it really is true. They say that, you know, if you're going to have some alcohol, especially if you're flying, drink a glass of water in between. Do in-flight exercises. Now, this kind of comes back to the be active thing again. But even when you're up in the sky, you can still keep exercising. You can lift your knees. You can roll your shoulders and your neck back and forth. Now, again, I'm trying not to do things that will alarm the other people. And, of course, if you're flying on one of the airlines that doesn't have quite as much leg room, doing some of these in-seat exercises may be a good way to get your elbow permanently planted in the person next to you. But the point of the matter is that you can do things to move around. You watch what you eat before you get on the plane and also the night before. So you want to eat light so that you're not eating real heavy and stuff like that. But just some ideas. Be a little active and be careful what you eat. Avoid alcohol and caffeine. Easy tips.
Yes. You know, and I understand that they finally got you to cut out doing the push-ups in the aisle that you used to do for the exercise. It was okay.
It wasn't the push-ups as much as it was changing clothes into my gym's outfit that really bothered me.
I knew that was what it was. Yeah, and once in a while you'd get your hand stepped on. Okay.
We have a first-time thing here, Thomas.
Yes, okay. What do we have?
The Sports Leisure Vacations Travel Winter Jackpot has never made it up to $400. In fact, until last week, it had never made it to $300. But we haven't had a winner now for a month. So we have a $400 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations for Diane Cummings. Diane was on a day trip with us to the Cherry Blossom Festival in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. So, Diane, if you're listening to the radio today and you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, you will have hit the jackpot. You will win a $400 travel card. And if we don't hear from Diane this week, next week's winner will be eligible to win a $500 travel card. And thanks. Got a note here, Tom, from Betty Marmon. She was a lady who won quite a ways. Remember when we had the Delta Airlines first class Toomey bag, mm-hmm. and we were having people guess what was inside of it and stuff like that. Well, Betty won a, she won a gift card from us, and she apologized. When we send these cards out, we ask folks to drop us a line and let us know that they've received it, and she apologized for not dropping a line for several weeks because she was traveling in Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam.
Oh my!
So how about that? So nice to have you back home, Betty, and congratulations again on being a winner on the Travel Guys, which I guess brings us around to our Save the Best for Last segment, Mr. Romano.
Here we go. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and we have saved the best for last. Mark?
Well, and, you know, and I left this up last week. Tom, remember, Save the Best for last week was that really poignant video mm-hmm. of the Delta Airlines employees in Atlanta welcoming home a fallen U.S. serviceman and his fallen canine companion. And that is still up on TravelGuysRadio.com. And if you're just wondering around the internet or wondering around our website, why, click on that. There's a section saves on the left-hand side where we're putting all the Save the Best for Last. Some of them will be poignant. Some of them might bring a tear to your eye like that one. Some of them will just make you laugh, or I don't know what this one will do. This is called Packing Tips for Men. We got this from our friends at Smarter Travelers. Tom, you travel a reasonable amount.
I do, and I have this up on my computer right now as we speak, and I've already learned three or four things. I am a kind of a horrible packer. I've learned a lot from John Holloway when we've had John on the show, and I do apply some of his folding tips that come in handy. But this is some good stuff. Let's share it with our audience.
And this is definitely slanted towards guys, because the very first one is three words: do laundry beforehand.
Yeah.
And talks about the fact that you don't want to find out the night, you know, right before you're getting ready to leave, that you only have four clean pairs of boxer shorts and you're getting ready to leave on a 1 week international trip. 7 minus 4. Yeah, that would be a problem. So make sure that you have enough things planned. Do a little thinking ahead of time. Do you think out ahead of time? Do you plan? Do you pack ahead of time?
You know, I hate to say this, but I am a list maker. Mm-hmm. Particularly now that I have, you know, a smartphone and it has a little tablet and you can go to the notes and you can make notes. So, you know, a week or so before I get ready to go somewhere, I will begin the list. of things.
Okay.
And then I will go through and I will check off the things on the list. But sometimes I've been accused of being a woman, because what I will do is I will do all the things on the list and then I will proceed to pack other things that aren't on the list.
Which brings us to the second thing on our list here from our friends at Smarter Travelers. You fell right into that. Pack extra essentials. I'm just going to read what they have here.
Okay.
Some men, though certainly not all, have it in their heads that packing is a sort of primal challenge to see who can pack the fewest clothes possible. This is absurd. If anything, you should throw in at least an extra pair of socks and underwear, plus an extra t-shirt or undershirt. Why? Things happen. It rains. You'll spill wine on yourself. Maybe you'll tumble down a hill. I don't know. All sorts of unexpected misfortune can creep up on you, and it's worth it to be prepared. That is really, really good wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
Probably applies to ladies, too, but especially to guys. And, you know, if you get hung up, I always carry an extra pair of underwear in my carry-on bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, if I get hung up someplace and don't make my connection, at least I have clean underwear to put on in the morning. And when you don't have your stuff, just having a few little essential things can make a difference. Their next thing on their list is bring interchangeable parts.
Meaning clothing parts.
Clothing parts, yes. We're talking about packing here, yes, for men on the travel guys. Bring a sweater that's comfortable enough for sightseeing but sharp enough for dinner. Pack clothes that'll work for a business meeting, but that you wouldn't mind wearing to a bar, with jeans and a t-shirt. So this requires a little bit of thinking. This is the ladies have done this for years. It's create clothes that can multitask, things that can be good for more than one. The next one is roll your ties. This is a great idea. Folding causes creases, rolling does not. It's that simple. And our buddy John Holloway will tell you this, that when you're packing, rolling things up in a ball and your ties are no exception. If you roll it like a spool of tape and pack it, it will not get crushed. That's a really good tip.
It is. You know what my tip on the tie thing is?
Uh-huh.
Leave them at home. I know. You do have to go on business trips, and you do have to take
no,
ties.
No, my thing about ties is, why would you want to start the day, a perfectly good day, by putting a noose around your neck?
And there you go. I will roll up a tie, and then I will multi-purpose the inside of my dress shoe and roll it up and then put it inside the shoe.
You see, now you're not an amateur traveler here. You know some tips. And then the next thing on their list is, it says stuff your shoes, which is exactly, you must have cheated. Exactly. And once you've rolled that tie up, or I often use my shoes to pack extra pairs of socks in.
Sure. That makes sense. Shoes and socks, they go together.
Yeah, shoes and socks, that kind of thing. Fold delicate items to the width of your bag. Now, this is one I'd never heard about before. Dress shirts, fine knit sweaters, blazers, dress pants should go in the bag last and be folded so they take up the full width of your suitcase. This cuts down on wrinkling and also means they'll be the first thing you unpack when you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, you won't forget about them until just before the wedding or the romantic dinner, and then you sheepishly extract a mangled article of clothing from the depths of your suitcase. So yes, if you put them on the top, you're much more. And the other thing I will tell you is super secret. I'm sure lots of guys do this. You take them out of your suitcase and you hang them in the shower while you're, you know, in the bathroom while you're taking a shower, and 90% of the wrinkles will go away. Then you take it out of the bathroom, hang it in your hotel room for a couple, 3 hours, and you've got a perfectly dry, perfectly unwrinkled piece of clothing.
Yeah, the first time Mark told me that, I took the and I hung it right there on the neck of the shower head, and it got all wet. And then I finally realized what he meant was hang it in the, not in the shower, but in the room that you're showering in.
All right. To other tips to help men packing, bring an extra charger and keep your cords organized.
Mm-hmm.
Always bring an extra charger. That is probably, whether you're a male or female, always bring an extra charger with you. Always.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a really super good idea. Keep your toiletries in a dupe kit. D-O-P-P?
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what that means.
I think that's what, like a travel case.
Okay. Yeah, and put all your toiletries in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. A zip-top bag lurks as well. Buy toiletries, toothpaste, packing. Yeah, okay. So they're just saying, don't try to bring your things from home. Bring smaller versions of, you know, those of us who travel a lot have, in essence, two shaving kits. One at home and one for the road. Everything on the road has less, everything's less than 3 ounces. Okay, lay out your essentials before.
Yep.
Unpack when you arrive so that you know about all of those things that need to be. And we will list all of these on travelguysradio.com. So, men, you can go and download this and have it. There really are some good ideas there, and there might even be a few good ones for the ladies.
And there you go. Here to make you a smarter traveler. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock to do it all again on Sunday. Mark, you have a great week. We'll see you next week, same time.
Thank you. Same to you, my friend. And I'll see you in the studio next week at 3 o'clock. It's Mother's Day, don't you know?
You bet. You guys stay well. We'll see you next week here on The Travel Guys.